Well, we're just so delighted to have Brett Ryan with us. He's going to come and minister the word. Ladies and gentlemen, could you put your hands together as he comes? Thank you.
Thank you. Now, you're going to do half your head in first service and half your head in the second service. I reckon that'll be really intriguing and things like that. Speaking of being in this beautiful country of Perth, because it's another country. I'm from Melbourne, but you brought the weather from Melbourne over here, and I can really appreciate the cold. So thank you so very much for arranging that for me. And it's great that I can be with you, and it has been 2 years since I've been here, and I really feel like I've got a message that I feel that's going to... Well, actually, I can guarantee it. If you applied what I actually share with you, it will change your world forever. It will actually improve your health of your marriage, health of your parenting, health of your employing, health of your just of being a student. I can guarantee it will fall into place. So we're going to share about that. If you put it into practice, I can guarantee, and I'll give you $50 if it doesn't. All right? I'm just going to get you to turn to a scripture for me. And it's from Romans 12, and then we'll get started. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I'm just going to ask God to help me. Father, I thank you so much for the privilege of coming to share at Real Life. I thank you that we're here together, enjoying each other's company, but most importantly, we are united in love with you. Yeah. I pray a blessing upon this message. Let it just resonate within every people's hearts and minds and soul. And I pray that if we give our entire lives over to you, it will bless us abundantly. In Jesus' most wonderful name, amen. I was 10 years of age when I was a bit of an entrepreneur. I went to a local news agent and I said, I want to sell papers in factories. And the boss called me King. I don't know why he called me King. It was just a good name. And he said, sure, you go ahead and we'll pay you money for doing it. And I used to just go and sell papers in factories. That's when you used to get paid in a little yellow envelope with coins. And they used to call them shrapnel when you had 1s and 2 cent pieces and 5 cent pieces. And the reason why I went and sold papers is because they were only 10 cents. And people used to have 15 cents in their, you know, in their pockets. And so they'd give me 15 cents. And then it went up to from 10 cents to 12 cents. And then it went from 12 cents to 15 cents. And so I always had this accumulation of extra money. And I did that for a part-time job for a number of years. I got paid $3 a week. And then I used to get about $10 worth of tips. When you're 10 years of age, some 40-odd years ago, that's a lot of money. But then I went to high school and I couldn't continue doing that. So I ended up going and saying, I'm going to deliver papers for you. And he said, okay, King, you've got the job. And so then I asked, come rain, hail or shine, I used to do this part-time job, go and deliver the papers. And sometimes you'd be knocked over with the wind and you'd have papers all over the place. Sometimes I'd have to get mum, it's raining, can you come and help me deliver the papers? And so she'd, you know, go around and I'd deliver about 100 papers and I used to get paid $5 a week. And I used to get, at end of the, at Christmas time, people used to give me $20 or $30 and I used to make a lot of money. That was a great part-time job. But then I went into high school and then it was a little bit more difficult to keep that part-time job was. But until I was about 16 years of age, I ended up seeing an advertisement in a hospital. A friend of mine saw this and he actually said, we need part-time camp leaders. And they must have been desperate for leaders. It was through the Royal Children's Hospital. And I ended up going as a volunteer leader at a camp for children with diabetes. And that rocked my world. From then on, I wanted to become a nurse. And I became a nurse for 15 years. But prior to that, I needed 6 months before I actually started this course that I was going to. But I was school captain at my high school. And so I applied for a job as a cleaner at my high school. So here I was, Mr. Head Honcho, to then cleaning 40 toilets a day, part-time. I loved part-time work. Part-time work was great because I could do what I wanted in the time that I wanted, and it was just fantastic. And then I started my nursing course and I worked full-time. And I've been working full-time for the last 30-odd years. Bring back part-time work. Part-time work, it's convenient. It's short, bite-sized. You can put some energy into it, and then you can actually rest and relax. Full-time work is a bit tougher. And my full-time work is that I was a critical care nurse for 15 years, and then I was a pastor for 12 years at a church called City Life Church, and I was a children's and family pastor there for the next 12 years before I started at Focus on the Family. And so I've looked after people physically, then I help people spiritually, and now I have the privilege of helping people relationally. Bring back part-time work. Full-time work, it's tough. It's tough. You're working all the time. You're thinking about it. And then your brain never stops. Bring back part-time work. The reason why I say that, sometimes people apply their lives to just being part-time. Marriages. I'll just put in a part-time effort. My parenting, I'm just going to put in a part-time effort. My relationship with God sometimes is a part-time effort. Because full-time is just tough. It's just a lot of work. It's exhausting. But in this verse is what, you know, God is saying to us. It says, allow, you present your bodies, your whole life, a living sacrifice, not part-time. He says, I want it all. And if we did this, it's a true act of worship. I was fortunate to be brought up in a Christian home. I had a great father, great mother. They set a great foundation for me. And it is such a privilege for me to be standing here before you today because of their input and their legacy in my life. But my dad was a student of the Word, and he used to study 3 to 4 hours a night of the Bible. And I said to myself, if that's what you have to do to become a Christian, I don't want it. It's just too tough. But it wasn't, that was his relationship with God, not mine. And I had to decide for myself what my relationship was going to be with God. Was it going to be part-time, one day a week, maybe two if I go to youth group and things like that? Or am I going to be full-time on this gig, being a follower of Jesus Christ? And I chose, probably at the age of about 17, 18, to put it on full-time. To be a living sacrifice in my whole life. Now, I've dropped the ball. I've dropped the ball a few times. It's not easy, but God knew that. God knows that because we've all fallen short. We've all fallen short of what God wants us to do. We've all fallen short of His glory, our ideal that He wants for us. We've all fallen short for this. But then He goes on to this in this verse. For all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But God treats us. He loves us just the same. As much better than we deserve. And because of Christ Jesus, He freely accepts us and sets us free from our sins. God sent Christ Jesus to be our sacrifice. Christ offered His life's blood so that by faith in Him, we could come to God. I love that God treats us and accepts us. Treats us and accepts us, even though we drop the ball and disappoint Him. I've been married for 26 years. I've got 3 sons. I have a 22-year-old, an 18-year-old, and a 20-year-old. Officially, I have got now adults in my household. My son turned 18 on Mother's Day. He got his license on Friday. He is now fully independent. And I tell you what, it's great. I don't have to drive him to work or drive him to school. He can get there himself. He's got his own car. But I'm still his full-time dad. My wife and I have been married for 26 years, and she is the delight of my life. She is an amazing mother, amazing wife, and she makes me look good. But I can't just say, you know what, I started dating you and I wooed you and I just sort of like waited till you've accepted my proposal in marriage, and then I can say, well, my job is done. No, because she loves me and she accepts me, I want to please her. I want to do right by her. And yes, I'm going to disappoint her. Yes, I'm going to frustrate her. Yeah, probably more times frustrating. And yes, I'm going to let her, I let her know that I haven't been as good a husband as all as I should be. That I should have been better in some respects. But yet she loves me and accepts me for who I am. And because that love and acceptance, because she treats me, I want to please her. I want to do right by her. The same with my kids. They're going to disappoint me, going to frustrate me, and they're going to tick me off. But I'm going to always love them and accept them. And God does the same thing to us. He is going to love us and accept us, even though we're going to drop the ball and disappoint him and frustrate him. But yet, because of that love and acceptance, I want to please him. I want to do right by him, even though I know I'm going to disappoint him at times. And that's what I'd like to talk to you about today. That one little thing that we can do, how we, as followers of Christ, can actually please God in our everyday life. But we get in the way a lot of the times. So I'm going to show you a little clip. It's a movie that Focus on the Family produced last year. And it's just a small little clip. It goes for about 2 minutes. And it looks at trying to make sure that you and I keep the mirror close to our own face. And the reason why we fail so miserably.
Family is crumbling and falling apart. We can see that everywhere we look. Broken family is everywhere. And that's why I'm going on this journey. To travel to the ends of the earth if necessary, to find out what is wrong with the family.
This idea that you're supposed to separate emotion from sex.
It hasn't created the freedom that was promised. It's actually made a culture of slaves.
We live in a consumer society, and that has been translated into relationships.
Our culture is so much about me and the individual. We should be encouraging a world where men and women embrace their roles as parents.
Boys need these models of manhood, of how to be a man, and they're losing out on that by not having their fathers involved in their lives.
When you have that cultural attitude that fathers don't necessarily play a unique and irreplaceable role in their children's lives, us dads ourselves often underestimate how important our role is.
I don't want that. I don't want it for my kids. I don't want it for anybody. I set out on a journey to find out what's wrong with the family. I never realized how much of an impact it'd have on me.
What do you think a father can do to be a better father?
It's easy to blame a lot of other outside factors, but I find it is my own selfishness, my own desires, my own laziness, you know, that can tend to get in the way of giving myself away to my children, to my spouse.
I got lost, I was blind. I've come so far in life only because I had so far to go.
The Bible has taught me not to change anybody else, because I can't change anybody else, but I mean, it's taught me how to change me.
I want to be there for my kids, for my wife. Not just physically present, but really there for them. Really loving them.
Focus on the family. We see and hear numerous people ringing us and emailing us when it's gone wrong. It's gone south. relationships or kids rebelling and things like that. And we're there, and I'd say our mission field is Australia, trying to create healthy families, healthy relationships, healthy individuals. And that movie just sort of starts it off. And I'd like to give this as a gift to Pastor David and to Pastor Rochelle. That's the movie Irreplaceable. That's the thing, you can show that. And it actually dovetailed into a curriculum called the Family Project and something like that. So I'd like to be able to give you that to you. And another part we want to do is just resource families. And so I've got some free things out there. And we've actually got, it was actually National Families Week this week. Just completed, National Families Week. And we've got a 1 week to a better family challenge. And if you go onto our website at families.org.au, you can actually sign up and we send you all this free stuff. And one of the free things is talking to your kids about the real issues. And we're talking about pornography, technology, grief and trauma, sex, alcohol and drugs, and identity and LGBT. These are some of the big issues. And so if you don't know how to talk to your kids about these things, here's a bit of a starting point. And I've got a few cards there available if you'd like to have those, or if you can just sign up on our website, you can actually have a look at that. The reason why I'm saying all of this is that when that clip was being showed, and it was interesting, he goes, when the father was saying about, you know, it's my own selfishness, and his wife's in the background going, anyone else sort of pick that up? We are so self-centered today. We are a narcissistic society. It's what's in it for me. Because we've got so many choices. We've got so many choices, but for every choice that we have, there are going to be consequences. Isaac Newton said this, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. You can do whatever you like, but you have to face the consequences of what you do. And how you go about your relationship, how you go and speak to your wife, how you speak to your kids, how you speak to your parents, how you speak to your boss, they're all going to have repercussions. And you have to face the consequences of those things. Now, I'm sure in a room this size, there are people who have had their fair share of heartache and problems and challenges. It wasn't how God intended for you to live. But there's always two sides of every story. You could do everything right, and yet the other person chooses everything wrong. You could do 5% at wrong, and all you can do is focus on your 5%, and the other 95% is the other person's challenge. We hear about this idea about equality, and I'm actually all for equality into a certain degree when it says, when I'm going to a marriage relationship, is it 50-50? Guess what? It's not. It's not 50-50, because that's only halfway there. That's a part-time job. I need to give myself fully to my wife. She needs to give herself fully to me. As a father, I need to give myself fully to my kids. Not just 50-50. I want to give 100%. And I have to focus on my 100%. And for God, I want to give myself all, not half. I don't want to give myself, I surrender half. I surrender half. Half to Jesus. No, that's like a part-time job. We need to give ourselves fully over to God. And what does God want for us? What does God want for us? What does he want from all of us? Now, he's given his word and he's got some great tips on how we should do life and how we should actually live to one another. And obviously, from my point of view, healthy families and healthy relationships is my sweet spot. I love talking about marriage. I love talking about parenting. Doesn't mean I have it all together. Oh boy, I have let it drop numerous times. But I give it 100% as best I can. And I reap the rewards of my 100%. I can't control everyone else, but I can control me. I can keep the mirror close to my own face. I can contribute in my family the best I can. I want to be the best father I could possibly be. And as a result of that, my kids like hanging around me. They don't want to just leave me. In fact, we've actually got there, my son is turning 18. He'll have schoolies. And the older brothers, and they said, Dad's coming with us. What are we going to do? We're going to go to roller coasting up in the Gold Coast. That's what they want to do. I said, I could do that. But we went bowling on Thursday night. They want to hang out with me. We go frisbee golfing. We do all these things together just because I like hanging around their old man. Does that happen just naturally? No. It's because I've invested in them. My wife even likes hanging around me as well. She likes hanging around me because I give 100%, not part-time, not because I get the dividends. There are dividends as a result, but I don't do things just to give the dividends. I do it because it's the right thing to do. That's how God wants us to live our lives. When I'm at work, I work and give it 100%. I don't want to just give it part-time effort. I mean, as the leader of the organization, I have to give it 110%. But I don't think 110 makes any sense whatsoever. How can you give more than 100%? If we give our 100%, God will look after the rest. God will look after this organization. And he'll provide the resources so I can go and help more Australian families thrive, either through the radio, and we started TV last year as well. That was an exciting adventure. And we ended up having every regional television station in Australia picked up an advertisement that I made. And it was called Back to the Table. And it was encouraging families to disconnect from technology and reconnect around the family meal time. And I thought they would play them in the wee small hours of the morning and no one's ever going to see them. They ended up playing them in prime time. Wow. And they've been playing them since May of last year. So much so, as I got an email from someone saying, can you get a new advert? And so I've got a new advert coming out, and I'm going to just see it. You wouldn't have seen it in Perth, but you would actually see it if you go backtothetable.org.au. You can actually see our advertisements. And we're going to have another one talking about the real issues. It's never too early to talk to your kids about the real issues in life and talking about some of the things that I shared with you. But the reason why God, as long as he's saying, you look after your stuff, you give it 100%, not part-time, not just half-hearted. You look after what you can do, and I will do the rest. And that's what he said in that scripture. You need to live a living sacrifice, not just, I live it on Sundays. I live it on maybe when I go to life group. I'd live it when I go to youth group or something like that. I live it when there's other people, other Christians around me. We need to live this life 100%. It has to be, I give him my all and it be him my Lord and Savior. Some people like the Savior part because it's our get out of jail free card, but they don't like this idea of Lord. Because that means I actually, because if you're not giving him all of yourself to be your Lord, he's not Lord at all. And we need to give him all. And if we do these things, and there's no guarantees. Oh, I tell you what, there's no guarantees. It's not like this foolproof saying, you become a Christian, you give yourself 100% to God, and then everything's going to fall into place. I wish it was. I wish it really was. But God has given us the greatest gift of all, a free will. We're not puppets, and we either choose to follow and give him our lives or not. And so in your relationships with your kids, relationship with your spouse, even in your relationship with your boss and things like that, just because you got the label Christian doesn't mean everything's going to go smooth sailing. But I tell you what, it's worth it. It's worth it. But in this idea of, in his word, he's got this idea, he's given, and I was speaking of, you know, like when I was saying that it was played in prime time, there's a TV show called My House Rules. Has anyone seen that show? So there's a sort of like, God gave us the first prototype of My House Rules in his word, all right? So I'm going to have a look at these. And a couple of things. My House Rules. The first thing is, and husbands love this one, wives, submit to your husbands. And they get this card out and say, wives, you submit to me. And women go, I hate that verse. And husbands go, I love that verse. But I'm not going to focus on that. I'm not going to focus on that one. The other ones, wives love this one. Wives, and I can see wives doing some elbow pushing and things like that. It says, husbands, love your wives. Don't be harsh with them. It's a good rule to have. It's a great rule to have. Another one that we like to use, and I'm not going to focus on all of them, but parents love this one. It's a great house rule. Children, obey your parents. it will go well with you and you will live a long life rather than dead meat. But I'm not going to focus on that house rule either. And there's another one that says, fathers, and this is me, I'm a work in progress, because I laugh at my kids, especially when they were little. When they got hurt, does anyone can relate to this? I might be the only one. When they got hurt, their face looked so funny. Or if they threw a tantrum, that was even funnier. And sometimes my wife would send me to my room. And I have to come in and apologize to my kids. But I'm not going to focus on that rule. I'm not going to focus on any of those rules. And I could go into a lot more detail about those things. You know, and when it says, wives submit to your husbands, you know, it's not like, you know, husbands, you can't remind them, because it doesn't say, husbands, remind that your wives should submit to you. It doesn't say that in the verse. It just says wives, so it's only going towards them. You focus on the one that says husbands, where it says, husbands, love your wives. You look after what you can do, keep the mirror close to your own face, give 100%, not a part-time, but a full-time effort in everything you do is a living sacrifice to God. But here it is. Here's the winner. Here is the clincher that I can guarantee if you all did this, if we all did this, it will go well with you. Here it is. Do you want to know what it is? Because that's verse 22, wives submit to your husband. There's a verse 21, and it says this. Submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. So it's not just husbands, not just wives, not just kids. It is everyone. Submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. If I do that because I want to give myself fully to Him, I want to have a full-time following of Jesus Christ job, not a part-time job. And if I do this and I want to revere myself to Him because He's loved and accepted me for who I am, bumps and all, mistakes and all, sins and all, He will still love me because we've all fallen short. He knows that. I want to please Him. And out of my result of wanting to please Him, I want to submit myself one to another. Out of reverence for Him. So what does this mean? Submission. Husbands know it really good because they go, hey, wives, you should submit to me. But it's actually husbands submit to your wives. It actually says to kids, submit to your parents. It actually says parents submit to your kids. Kids like that one as well. And a boss, I'm going to submit to my boss. I'm going to submit to the leadership here. I'm going to submit to one another. And what does this mean? And this is the kicker. This is the kicker. What this means, it's actually saying, how can I help you? How can I serve you? How can I bring out the best in you? If I want to revere God and please Him because He loves and accepts me, I'm going to have to put this into practice. It's actually saying, I'm going to be full-time. So I'm going to say to my wife, how can I help you? Now, she might faint when you say that. And that gives you enough brownie points for a little while. Or alternatively, you go up to your parents and you say, Mom, can I set the table for you? Now, she will faint there and then, and that will last for about 2 or 3 weeks. She'll be telling everyone she comes across and says, did you hear my boy? He said, can I set the table? That was just so lovely. Milk it for all it's worth. You go up to Pastor Rochelle and Pastor David and say, how can I help you? Now, they may have to be picked up and faint from their fainted position. But could you imagine what that would be like if we did this? Could you imagine what that would look like if we actually put this into practice? If we were really serious about full-time followers of Jesus Christ, we want to revere Him and put everything in His rightful place. We actually want to do these things because He loves and accepts us. and we put this into practice, could you imagine what our church would look like? Could you imagine what our homes would look like? Could you imagine what our workplace would look like? Could you imagine? Could you imagine this simple task? And it, I tell you what, it has so much leverage, because you're not taking the focus off of, you're taking the focus off of yourself, which is the reason why we're in such a disarray in our society. Marriage is falling apart, kids being rebelling, it's all a me generation, and we're a highly sexualized world that we live in. It's the just whatever it feels good, just do it, whatever. If we started taking that away from our focus and we said, actually, how can I serve you to bring out the best in you? I'm going to lay down my foundation, or my lay down my title, lay down my position, and I'm going to say, how can I serve you? How can I help you? And if we did that, it would change our world. Take the focus off of ourselves and we put it outward, because that is how God wants us to live. That's how God wants us to live. I'm going to read, and I'm just going to come to the conclusion now. And coming from the verse where I originally started, I'm going to read it from the Message Bible. And it says this. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Take our ordinary, everyday life. Everything that we do, the moment we wake up, hey, it's yours, God. We're going to work, hey, this is yours, God. I'm at work, this is yours, God. I'm at my home and my marriage, this is yours, God. How can I revere you? I know I'm going to submit to one another. I'm going to submit to my boss. I'm going to submit to my wife. I'm going to submit to my kids. I'm going to be the very best possible version of myself. Bringing the best, not the least. A full-time effort, not a part-time effort. And it is our act of worship to God. I wish I could say it was all going to go smooth sailing and you're going to do your part and everything else going to fall into place. That is not reality. It's the ideal, but it's not reality. And that's the reason why Jesus sent Himself to die an agonizing death for you and I. And I tell you what, we reap the benefits. I don't know what life would be like if I didn't have that hope, if I didn't have that someone to hold on to when I'm going through challenges, if I'm going through some trials, if I'm going some conflict in my household, I can turn to God for wisdom. And as it was shared before about that sense of peace. Father God, I just pray right now for that sense of peace to be upon everyone here. Holy Spirit, come, fall afresh on us all. And we know, Father God, there's going to be people going through some difficult situations, some challenging circumstances. I pray that you be the great comforter, the great counselor, the great support when they're going through these things. And Lord, I also pray for those people who really could actually sit here right now and being challenged, being convicted by the Holy Spirit, and actually saying, you know, I've actually been only giving a part-time effort in my relationship with you, in my relationship with my partner, in my role as a father, as my role of my mother. I actually haven't been a really good son, or I haven't been a really good daughter. I haven't been saying, how can I help you? I haven't been submitting to one another. And I pray by your Holy Spirit, by your grace, challenge them, convict them, and do a work in them so they can actually start afresh. Because we've all fallen short of our ideal. God, in your mercy and your love for us, allow us to be a living sacrifice to you, holy and pleasing in everything that we say and do. We give it entirely over to you in Jesus' most wonderful name, the name above all names. Amen. Amen.